It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
And good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Pleased to be joined in the studio this weekend by Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley. We're going to hear an update on crime trends and things to keep in mind as well during the summer season here in the Motherlode to stay safe. Sheriff Pooley, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
BJ, it's been a while. Thanks for having me.
It has been, yes. So before we get into the summer safety issues, I want to get your take on the budget. Tuolumne County always passes a budget ahead of July 1st. I'm curious your reaction to this year's spending plan and how it impacts your office.
Well, really, the big impact is that we were forced to freeze five additional positions on top of the four we had already frozen for the recent pay increases. Now, where this sounds very dramatic, and it is, I don't anticipate hiring that many people this year. I've also told the board that, hey, look, if we get to a point, because we are doing some great hiring now with the pay increases, that we may be coming back and asked to unfreeze those positions. So I'm not overly concerned. I'm sure the board will work with me as needed. You know, last year, throughout the entire year, we hired 11 deputies, and that's a combination of both patrol and custody folks. This year, in the first 5 months, we've hired 13, which is fantastic. We also have 9 additional conditional job offers out in our office. So with the advent or the advantage of having better pay, we're starting to hire some folks. So I'm very, very excited about that.
Yeah, it's a big change from about a year ago's time when we were talking on Motherlode Views about the challenges of finding officers.
Yeah, it was very difficult. You know, I want to thank the board for the Board of Supervisors for implementing these pay raises. They went a long way to our ability to be able to hire, and also the signing bonuses that we have now. I don't know if you know, but, and I will throw out a shameless plug, for lateral officers, we're giving out a $20,000 signing bonus, and then for entry level, $16,000, which is fantastic. So any of you out there listening that are thinking about coming to the sheriff's office, please apply, come talk to us. We'll sit down with you. We'll tell you what it's all about, and love to have him.
You know, for anyone who hasn't been following the ins and outs of the news closely, you mentioned the supervisors approved pay raises. Can you explain a little bit about that? Because I know you voiced concerns ahead of that to the Board of Supervisors.
You know, it was really about our ability to be competitive, have competitive wages and being able to hire. We were drastically behind 2 years ago. I think we were something around 26% behind the average. We're now at average and we're competitive for our local area. And it just made a big difference. And if I talk to sheriffs around the state, those that are hiring are at average or just about 5%, 5 to 7% above average. And they're being competitive in their areas and they're starting to fill up as well. So a nice trend for us. Especially, I came here in 2013 as Jim Mealy's undersheriff, and this is the best we've ever done since I've been here in hiring. And I hope I didn't just jinx myself.
You know, I remember a couple of years ago talking to you on the show just about kind of the challenges nationwide of getting people to go into the law enforcement profession. Are you noticing any change in that right now from what we're looking at 2 years ago? Or is it still a challenge?
I think it's still very difficult. We're still not seeing the huge numbers like we used to. But it seems as though we are starting to get better quality of applicants. So a few more people are making it through backgrounds on a percentage per se. We're also having less people leave, which is really good. You know, if you can stop folks from leaving and eliminate that attrition rate and still hire one or two a month or a year or whatever, you're making ground. So, you know, it used to be two steps backwards, one step forward, and now we're two steps forward, one step backwards. So gaining ground, very, very, very pleased.
Increasing pay is always a good way to get more people attracted to, you know, Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office. Are there other things that you kind of, you would say are kind of things that help attract candidates to this area as opposed to, you know, the Valley or the Bay Area or other places?
Well, you know, if you look at the type of work we do, the support we get from the community, you know, we're blessed to work in a community that really supports law enforcement. You know, we have the Come in Unity dinner coming this Saturday. It's the community is coming out. They're making dinners for first responders throughout the community. They are taking meals and they're delivering them to on-duty staff. They're taking it to our dispatch. They're taking it to Sonora Police Department. They're delivering meals and they're just showing their appreciation for us. And I think that goes a long ways for folks that want to work in an area where they're loved and respected.
Yes, here I have a lot of cheers and local parades when the sheriff's office comes through as well.
Yes. So. It's wonderful. My favorite joke is they wave with all their fingers up here.
I'm curious, too, just crime trends in general. As sheriff, what are you noticing right now in the community and in Tuolumne County?
Well, most recently, this last week, we seized nearly a half a pound of fentanyl out of a traffic stop for it was a woman who was wanted for robbery, kidnapping, and carjacking. We were able to locate that woman in the vehicle. We initiated a traffic stop. Out of that traffic stop, we found approximately 200 grams gross weight of fentanyl, which is a huge amount. I think it's probably the largest that we've ever seized in our county that I've heard of. And along with that, they also seized about 140 grams of methamphetamine. We had baggies and other things indicating that obviously it was for sale. That is a really scary trend when you look at the amount of drugs in our community.
You know, when you hear about fentanyl as opposed to, say, you know, cocaine or methamphetamine or marijuana, what's the big concern with fentanyl in compared to those other ones?
Well, fentanyl, you know, you're talking about micrograms for dosage and that can actually kill you. So when you talk about, you know, an average dose for an average drug user is 0.05 to 0.1 grams, and we seized 200 grams of that. It's a lot of doses. It's a lot of fentanyl in our community. Clearly, it was going to be sold in our community and distributed through our community. And the fear is that it's so deadly, you're going to have overdoses.
You know, the dealer supplies, do we know, are they primarily coming from like the Valley, or are they being, you know, coming from local places?
So fentanyl itself, the chemicals come primarily from China. It's manufactured in Mexico, and then it is distributed along the traditional smuggling routes, that, you know, going back to cocaine and methamphetamine, and that's how it's coming into our state and into our communities. So it's not necessarily being made here. It's being distributed here. It's coming from the Valley, obviously.
Yeah, and some I've seen pictures, of course, looking like little pieces of candy. So it's important to have those conversations with your kids as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, they advertise it, and it does. It looks like candy. It comes in little rainbow colors. It's attractive to youth, but it's so deadly. We've got to get a handle on this.
How about anything in relation to violent crime trends? Are you seeing anything in that area?
So it's funny you asked that this week. You know, we were talking to the office this last week and a half. We've had quite a few domestic violence, some of them very violent with substantial injuries, both male and female victims. It was really a rough couple weeks for us in that realm. Violent crime is up in our community, clearly. So hopefully that will level back out here.
Right in the midst of that summer kind of peak season where people are out and about, are your deputies staying pretty busy right now?
You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've obviously had the heat wave, which creates its own type of calls. We have the 4th of July weekend, which brings a lot of people into our community. We've been dealing with those types of calls. And, you know, the old adage that it's a full moon also, I think, actually plays into it a little bit. But we have been super busy the last several weeks. It's going to be a very busy summer for us, no doubt.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley, talking about public safety and crime trends in Tuolumne County. Sheriff Pooley, we ended the last segment talking a little bit about how busy deputies have been with the recent heat wave and community events, and the waterways I know have been busy, and unfortunately have been some drownings, haven't there?
Yes, unfortunately we've already experienced 5 drownings in our county this year. You know, people need to remember how severe this last winter was with all the storms and all the accumulation of snow up in the higher country. That's still melting. It's still coming down. The water's very cold. The rivers are running extremely fast. They're very dangerous. You know, if you're going to be in and around the water, you really need to wear a life vest. I've been doing this job for nearly 35 years now. I've never seen anybody drowned wearing a life vest. Please, please, please make sure you're wearing your life vest. Make sure your children are wearing your life vest. Stay away from alcohol while you're around the waterways, or at least keep it very moderate. It's tragic because every year we lose folks. We put out these warnings, and it's been on your radio station, all the warnings, and we put out advertisements, and we still lose a number of people every year, and they're all preventable. That's tragic.
I doubt you have any stats in front of you in regards to this, but how about the issue you mentioned of alcohol? Do you notice a lot of times that alcohol is a factor with some of these drownings?
You know, alcohols can be. People tend to do things probably a little more recklessly. They misjudge how far they can swim, those types of things. You know, when it's hot like this, you start drinking alcohol, it affects you faster. It affects you more dramatically, at least for some folks. It can compound the issue.
How about kids, too, just playing near creeks and water that may not look too dangerous right at first?
Yeah, you know, if you go up the hill right now, those rivers are running. I mean, they are just churning. They're very loud. They're very, you can just see they're dangerous. But then you go down a little bit and you find this little nice calm pool. Well, that same water's still running through that pool, and it's very dangerous. That current, even though it doesn't look or seem bad, can whip you away so quickly. So really be aware of that.
On some of the places like reservoirs, do you still have boat patrols that go out and patrol different things?
Yes, and if I may, I'm going to give a shout-out to Deputy Jeremy Green. He works our Boating Waterway Division. He was just awarded or honored by Mothers Against Drunk Driving for the number of boating DUIs he did this past year. So he's going to be getting an award here very soon from them. We're very proud of him, and can't thank him enough for doing such a great job.
I also want to ask you a little bit about fire season. We are in the peak of the summer months right now. What kind of advice do you have for the community to just kind of get ready for whatever could happen?
You know, we talk about it every year. It's have a plan. Be prepared to leave in a moment's notice. Make sure you're listening to the radio stations. You're following all the social media posts. You know, we're blessed to have Columbia Air Attack Base here. When you hear those planes go up, you need to be searching. Where is that fire at? What's going on? We can put out all the information in the world, but if folks aren't willing to go out and get that information or receive that information, then we're not communicating. So that's very important. You know, for us, knowing that fire season's coming, we're starting to do our briefing trainings and we're starting to, you know, rehash the proper procedures to evacuate folks. Technology this year, we've just implemented 2 new applications, so the deputy can have on their cell phone a GIS map of the community. You can check off that, hey, I've been to this house, there's 3 people here, one of them needs extra assistance, and have they been evacuated, were they warned. It will make things a little smoother, a little easier for us. And I think anytime we have the opportunity to employ technology into our work, it's going to make us more efficient. So really, really happy that we're going that route.
Can you remind us, too, a little bit about the different types of evacuation notices? Because during the heat of the event, you kind of are going to be possibly in a state of panic. So I know there's different levels of evacuation. So what are kind of those different steps?
So what you're talking about is we used to have 3 levels. Right now, we're more in line with the state where you have a warning and then you have the evacuation order. A warning is simply, hey, there is a fire in your area. You need to think about packing up. You know, don't wait till the last minute. We're giving you your warning to get all your affairs in order to possibly leave. And then when we give the actual order to leave, the evacuation order, we expect you to leave right away. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to leave, or they hesitate, or maybe they have animals. They're not thinking about how to pack these animals into trailers. You know, do you have dog food? Do you have your go bag and all these things ready? That's really what the warning is for, is start to prepare, start to get ready. We're going to give, as I've said many a times, we're going to give evacuation warnings and the actual orders early and often. To me, I would rather have you evacuated early and you come back to a perfectly fine, safe home than wait too long and something tragic happens.
You know, when you put out that evacuation order, do you still get some people who just hang around and don't leave?
Yeah, there's always one or two that don't leave. And as a able-bodied adult, we can't force you to leave. But I will say that if you have elderly folks that maybe can't move on their own, or if you have young children, the law does allow us to take those folks from your home and make sure that they're safe. You as an adult can make your decision, but you can't put children or elderly in danger.
So if you do get an evacuation order and you take off, is there anything you should do to let the sheriff's office or anyone know that you are now out of there and they don't have to worry about you?
Yes. So, you know, if you put some sort of notice or sign up, we're actually talking about putting getting some ribbons that folks can hang on their mailboxes. We're looking into that. But, yeah, if you could notify us, that'd be great. I always say, be a good neighbor. Make sure that your neighbors, maybe their car's not running, if you know that, and they're going to need extra help, go help them. Or if they're elderly and maybe on oxygen and need extra assistance, go help them. If you can't help them, call us. Let us know ahead of time so we can take care of those folks.
Some areas are hard to get to in the Motherlode, of course. Do you have any advice for people just getting ready for evacuation planning right now when there's not a fire?
I think the biggest thing, really, you know, if you talk about being in the real rural areas, is protecting your home, giving that extra space, that defensible space, making sure the trees aren't hanging over your house, all the things that all the fire folks have told us over the years that we need to do. If you're way out there and you want to save your home, that's the best way to do it, because if you don't do that, the fire's going to eat up your home so quickly.
We need to take another break, talking with Sheriff Bill Pooley on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley on this weekend show. Sheriff Pooley, we talked a lot about crime trends and what's been happening with the sheriff's office, also some summer tips. One thing we haven't gotten into much yet is in regards to the jail. What's kind of the status about how things are working out in the operations of the jail right now?
So obviously we have the new Dambacker Detention Facility. Over the past year, we have had to cut back, and actually we didn't have enough staff to properly supervise a lot of the inmates. And as such, we contracted with Calaveras County to house some of our inmates last year. We're no longer doing that. We're starting to get staff back. We're starting to hire. I anticipate being able to start to open up and house more inmates here in the very immediate future. Very excited about that.
You know, going back to the budget a little bit, I know it's been some tough budget times recently, and the sheriff's office has had to make some cuts. Are there some things that in programs you've had to put on hold or reduce because of the challenging fiscal times?
Yeah, it's been a trend. You know, it's not just been this past year. It's been a trend over the last 10 years. All of our budgets are very tight. It seems like every year we have to cut something. You know, going back to the Tuolumne County Narcotic Team, we cut that out. We're no longer really investigating larger narcotics distribution chains in our community. We're simply doing it, as I said earlier, at a patrol level. You know, if you talk about the number of detectives, we've cut back on the number of detectives. Right now, we've taken two of the deputies out of our high-risk supervision team that goes out and supervise those individuals that are on parole or probation that really we think are a high risk. We've had to pull back two deputies there just to handle our patrol functions. But as we... And, you know, when we're cut like that, I think really where the public sees it, it's our inability to be proactive, or at least it really hurts our ability to be proactive. I think that's when you start to see crime trends start to go up and things like that. We're very reactive right now. But as we start to hire, we are going to start implementing those things back in. My command staff and I are going to sit down. We're going to start prioritizing how and where the new folks coming on board are going to go and how we're going to start building our office back, which for me as a sheriff, it's very exciting.
You know, do you still work closely with schools when it comes to preparing for bad things that could happen in a school setting?
Yeah, so... we're still doing the active shooter training. We're currently sitting down with the schools to do all of our site safety plans. They've gotten all those into them. We review them. We give feedback. And so we're getting those done. We're talking about implementing a new mapping system for all the schools. That's hopefully in the works in this next year. And that will be with the superintendent's schools office leading that.
The Tuolumne County Search and Rescue Team, have they been busy this summer? And can you kind of explain how they're connected with the Sheriff's Office?
So the Search and Rescue Team is essentially a bunch of volunteers, God bless them, that come out at a moment's notice when people are lost in our county. And they'll set up a command post. They go out and they do the searches. You know, they're the boots on the ground that actually go out and look for folks and make all these very, I will say daring rescues, because some of them are very intensive. Some have to be, they're trained to do whitewater rescues. They're trained to do rope rescues and things like that. And without them, we couldn't do it without those volunteers. We do have a number of deputies that are assigned as liaisons that help manage those calls and make sure everybody's called out and really supervise them. But those folks that go out, man, they're amazing.
So putting on your SAR hat for a minute, what advice do you have for people who are going to be heading out to the wilderness areas over the coming months?
Well, first and foremost, our temperature changes so fast. And the climate can change so quickly. Be prepared for everything. Make sure that someone knows where you're starting off from, when you're going to be back, or when you should be expected to be back, what your routes are going to be. In today's day and age, we talked about technology earlier. There's GPS devices that if you get in trouble, you hit that device, it sends your GPS location to us, and we can come find you very quickly. If you're going to be out seriously on long hikes and things like that in the wilderness, you should have one of those. Be prepared. Make sure that you have plenty of, food and water. Maybe not just for a day trip. Maybe you get stuck. Maybe it's 2 days. I know Calaveras, I was just talking with Sheriff DeBasilio. He said some hikers went out. They hopped over this little tiny creek. They were gone for a couple hours. And by the time they came back across that creek, it heated up. And now it's a full-on river, and they couldn't get out. Those are the types of things that happen all over the Motherlode. Those are the types of things you need to be prepared for.
I also want to ask you a little bit about drones. I was reading an article that was out of a national publication. I think the drone was down in Southern California, how they were talking about how sometimes at least one police department was having drones go out to be kind of the first contact when it comes to when calls are made for it to law enforcement. What's kind of your reaction to that?
I think it's a really neat concept. I forgot the name of the city. It is in L.A. that's doing that. But essentially, as soon as a call comes in, they launch a drone to that location to get eyes on that situation, which is probably pretty easy to do in a smaller geographical area. Most cities aren't that large. But when you're talking about, we have 2,200 square miles in our county, it's very hard for us to do. Having said that, we do have several drones, and we use them. We're using them more and more on critical incidents. We're using them on search and rescues. We just got some money from California State Boating and Waterways to buy a new drone. We've recently started to purchase that. It's going to have more capabilities, better cameras, night vision, those types of things. So we're trying to implement those same types of things here. it's probably never going to be to the point where I can launch a drone to every single call. I don't know if the battery life would even get them from here to, say, Groveland or near the Yosemite Gate. And even if they could get there, would they be able to be there for a prolonged period of time? There's a lot of great creative ways to meld technology into law enforcement, and we should be looking at all those options.
How about National Night Out? Is that coming up again this summer?
Yeah, so National Night Out is Tuesday. It's always the first Tuesday of August 1st, from 6 to 8, Epperson Park. We're going to have ourselves, we'll have Fish and Game, Highway Patrol, Sonora Police Department, Animal Control, Probation, Forest Service, you name it. We're going to be there. We're going to be out meeting the community. It's a great event. Lots of things for the kids to do, and really, it just is a way for law enforcement and first responders to bond and build relationships with the community. For several years, we did them down in Railtown. Last year, we did it in Columbia. This year, we're going to do it in Twain Hart. And hopefully, we'll just keep bouncing it around the county and hit all the communities. So,
How about Neighborhood Watch, too? Is that something you encourage local communities to get involved with?
I'm a big proponent of Neighborhood Watch. I think that obviously we can't be everywhere. We need the community to be our eyes and ears, and that's a really great way to organize a neighborhood to make sure that your neighborhood's safe. If you're interested in doing that, you can contact us. We have folks that are in our community service unit that will come out. They'll help set up. We'll get you started, and we'll come out and give presentations to your Neighborhood Watch programs if you'd like.
Got a few minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Anything else that I didn't bring up that would be good to note with the community?
You know, I think probably one thing, I spoke about it earlier, you know, for the last 8 years, the Common Unity folks have been out and provided us an annual dinner. I just really want to thank them from the bottom of my heart, thank them for what they do. There's a great group of folks, from the folks that are actually doing the barbecue to the support team to the drivers who deliver the meals. It's humbling that our community supports us so well, and I wanted to thank them for the event this weekend.
And then for people, just you mentioned short staff, it's always hard, and the Neighborhood Watch, you know, what tips do you have for people who may live kind of in the isolated parts of the county just to keep their places safe?
You know, we said it earlier, technology is great. You know, people see cameras and know that they're on film. They may go find someplace else. You know, you're pushing it off of you. And it should, Lord forbid, you are broken into, it gives us some evidence to maybe go back and arrest these folks and get your property back. And even though you could be several miles from your neighbor, know your neighbor, talk to them, find out what's going on. Are they seeing strange vehicles at certain times of day? And it's about communication. It's about letting us know. I always say, when in doubt, call us. We'll come out. We'll talk to you. Maybe it's just a phone call. Hey, I have this thing going on. What do I do? Our deputies can give you some advice. It's all about communication. And don't be afraid to call the sheriff's office. We want you to call us.
Well, we appreciate the update here on Motherload Views, hoping for a quieter fire season over these coming months. I know it's always a dangerous time here in the Motherload, but we'll
knock on wood.
Yeah. Right. 10 years since the Rim Fire. That's when around the time you first started, correct?
Yeah, I've been on 6 months when that started.
Jumped right into it. Yeah,
it was still the biggest event I've ever been on in my career. I hope we never have one again in our community. But having said that, our deputies are out there. They're training. You know, we've been on almost every major fire in our region, at least either helping other county agencies or being part of them. So unfortunately, we've become very good at what we do. But we're really lucky to have the law enforcement we have in our community. I want to thank my staff for the great job they do day in, day out. I know summer's very, very busy. We've been shorthanded for several years now. My people, I'm so proud of them. They have stepped up. They've done a great job. They have supported this community and try to keep this community as safe as it can be. And I just want to thank them for doing an outstanding job.
We'll end on that note. We thank Sheriff Bill Pooley for being our guest on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Reminder, if you missed part of this show or any recent shows, you can go to mymotherload.com, find the full shows. They're archived in their entirety, 30 minutes in length. You can listen to them whenever you please. And we thank you for joining us on Motherload Views. We'll see you back next week for more.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.